behalf of the Dam family, I welcome you all to this funeral service for our brother Lee Dam. Since we rely on the Lord for all things and in all circumstances, let us confess that very thing, those familiar words from Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As we look to God in all circumstances, also in grief and in loss, let us cry out to him with a psalm of searching, seeking, thirsting after the Lord, and seeking to worship with his people. We'll sing Psalm 24, stanzas 1, 5, and 6, not the current version, but the old version, as the heart about to falter. Let's rise if we're able to do so.
Thank you.
As we turn to God's word for comfort this morning, let us turn to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a wonderful invitation this morning, the focus being on verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's read Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Lord chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let me lead you in prayer. Eternal God and Father, gathered around your throne in glory is that great company of those who have kept the faith, finished the race, and now rest from their labors. We give you praise and thanks that you have now received our brotherly dam into your presence. Help us here now as we gather together to listen to your word, sing your praises, and we here on earth may believe that which we cannot see, trusting in Christ who said, I go to prepare a place for you. Bring us all at last with all your saints into the joy of your eternal home through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we turn to God's word, let's sing of the wonderful comfort that we have in the Lord who is our salvation, as we'll see in these words of Jesus Christ, Psalm 116, stanzas 1 and 9. Let us this morning draw comfort from those words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Dear Ada, family, friends, those who are here this morning, those who are joining online, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. You may or may not know that the verses that we read here this morning in Matthew 11 are unique in all of Scripture. For in them, we have Jesus himself describing for us his very own heart. The very next verse says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." There's no other verse like it, where Jesus himself opens up about what really lives in his own heart, what motivates him, what directs him, what is key in his own life. This is true, right? If you get to know a person, you may get to know a little bit what they're like. But it's when you get to know a person very well that you get to see their hearts. It's one of the challenging things. When you really get to know a person and their heart, you know, you get to see the good and the bad, what makes you love that person and what makes you struggle with someone. You see it all in our human hearts. So what is it? And when we come to Jesus Christ, what do we see? What does his heart reveal to each one of us? Well, we see that out of his heart, he offers us an invitation and a promise. An invitation to come and the promise of rest. Admittedly, it's a wonderfully strange invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I say it's strange because it's strange when you compare it to many of our invitations. Generally, the kind of invitations that flow out of our own hearts. Whether we are inviting people for a party, an adventure, inviting them to be friends, we tend to struggle to invite those who are weary and burdened. You may know what that's like. You may have noticed that you aren't invited, you are avoided because you are weary, you are burdened, you are grieving, and it's just not something others want to deal with right now. Not something that other people have time for or patience for right now. You may recognize it in your own hearts. You've done that to others when things were going well. You invite those who you know will be a good time. You invite those who you know can help you along. You invite those who at least won't be a burden or who will not weary you. But Jesus is so different. And we see this, not just in his words, but we see that throughout the Gospels laid out. It didn't really seem to matter what kind of weariness or what kind of burden you had. Jesus would see it. He would hear you. He would care for you. He would comfort you. Look at the stories in the Gospel. Bartimaeus, a blind man outside of Jericho, crying out that the Son of David would have mercy on him, and everyone else tells him to be quiet. Don't burden Jesus Christ. Be quiet. But when Jesus hears him, he has the time. Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? What is on your heart? What do you want me to do for you? And he gave Bartimaeus his sight. Mothers come to Jesus with their little children, and the disciples are wonderful secretaries. They're like, no, we want to guard his time, guard his energy. Jesus can't be burdened with your concerns right now until Jesus hears about it. and wants to bless them. A woman in the crowd has been bleeding for 12 years while a young girl is on the brink of death. And as soon as she receives healing, Jesus stops and calls her out. Who touched him? He couldn't be hurried. It wasn't a burden to him. But he takes the time to encourage her in her faith. Throughout the Gospels, people come to him with their sickness. Lepers, who are shunned by everyone else, are not shunned by Jesus Christ. Others come to him with their sin. Everyone else turns away from them because certainly not such a woman would dare to come to her as a rabbi like Jesus. But Jesus doesn't send them away. Those people that have lived against God's law, they've been rejected by the spiritual leaders of Israel. All their neighbors turn away from them. But Jesus does not. Others come to him with personal questions and concerns. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, I'm searching. Where may I find the answer? They come to him for truth, for salvation, for forgiveness, for peace, for answers, for comfort. Just so many different people all throughout the gospel, so many different hearts, but they all found in Jesus someone who would not turn them away, who wouldn't be burdened by them, bear their burdens, who wouldn't be wearied by their weariness, who wouldn't turn them away, but calls them to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning, that's an invitation for you. You are burdened. Maybe burdened with grief. Grief that you may very acutely know that, yes, you share as a family, as friends, as brothers and sisters. It's also a burden that's very individual, isn't it? You can be very alone in your grief because, you all have different relationships. You may mourn as a spouse of 60 years, mourn as a son, mourn as a daughter, grandchildren, and a complicated mix of a sense of loss and grief, struggles, resentments, sins that you carry along wherever you go, and it makes you exhausted. It makes you weary. And we try to get rid of this burden ourselves. We try to escape it, find some relief. We try to carry it around for a while. We try to shift it on other people. By sharing in this grief, casting blame, but no one can really take it away, can they? No one can carry it for us. No one, unless you take this invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you become like Bartimaeus, like the mothers, like the lepers, like the sinners. Unless you take your eyes away from this person and that person, this event and that event, from this if only and that if only, to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and cast your burdens on him. Do you see it? Jesus opened up himself to all these people around him, as he did not let the disciples guard his time and his energy. He really did take their burdens. Matthew 8, verse 17 reminds us of the words of Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He wasn't simply making himself available, sharing his time or his wisdom. His whole life was this invitation to come, cast your burdens on me. He was born into poverty, that the poor would come to him and know that he would bear their burdens. He was born under oppression, that the oppressed may know that he would bear their burdens. He was misunderstood. He was called a liar, persecuted by his enemies, betrayed and forsaken by his friends. He took it all, never finding rest. And still say, come to me, cast more on me, throw it all on me. Never, ever dropping his promise that all who are weary and heavy laden may come to him and find rest. Until the point where he is so burdened, so troubled, where he's at the brink of having to bring this burden, all our sin, to the cross, where he enters into the deepest, deepest trouble of heart, the deepest anguish and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he must carry this all alone. And die under the wrath of God against all sin. All our sin. But do you see how that's rest for you? That when we come to Jesus weary and burdened and cast it all upon him, is even our very sin that sticks to us, we know that it's really gone. Because we see him crushed by it and then going to the cross. He may die. That there really is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That there is forgiveness for all our sins. And for the sins of the people around us who cry out to Christ. That even all of our troubles in this life are colored with the incredible love of Jesus Christ, who bore our infirmities, who bore our burdens. The temptation is that we want to get rid of our burdens and weariness. And then we'll say, we'll come to Christ. Then we'll be ready. Once I just get rid of that. But it doesn't work like that. You qualify because you have burdens you need to shed. As the hymn, "Come ye sinners, poor and wretched," says, "Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and broken by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need for him." Do you feel your need, brothers and sisters? It's all that's necessary. Then he invites you to come and find rest. It's all that was necessary for Lee. His invitation was for him. And he took it, he trusted in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I know he wasn't always open about it. Speaking of hearts and getting to know them, that was probably harder with Lee, because he didn't tend to share his heart so much with a stranger. Maybe not even to those who knew him that much better. But here's the thing, in the last couple of years, he was weary. In and out of the hospital, both alone and with Ada at times. And every time he looked at Jesus in his weariness, trusted in his Savior. So that we know that his sins and burdens have been borne to the cross, and he has received his rest. Let that be a comfort then this morning. This is an invitation that we may take and know that the promise is true. That's what Jesus says. The promise is, I will give you rest. You know, we all long for rest after hard work, a busy day, a challenging season. Perhaps that's what we're thinking of when we hear Jesus' words. But what would Jesus have thought of as rest? What's his idea of rest? Well, we know Jesus knew his Bible. We knew that he knew that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He made everything in it. He made man on the sixth day, and then, if you know first chapters of Genesis, on the seventh day, God rested. Now, we're not going to picture that God was tired or that it was hard work. He was not because he was burdened by managing all of creation, but he sets that day apart, makes it holy, enjoys the work that his hands have made, enjoys the fellowship that he has there with Adam in the garden. Some of you have may notice this before. Maybe it's new for others, that Adam's first day in a new creation was a day of rest. I mean, created on the sixth day, then the Lord made the seventh and he rested on it. Adam, who was made to work the garden, had a job to do, but the very first day, his full work, first work day, he received a holy day. And that's where our holiday comes from. We tend to think of rest from sin and a sinful world, but that rest, that first rest, must have been something amazing, something just perfect. Just perfect rest, no concern for sin, rest with God, and enjoyment with a creator, a powerful, almighty, glorious, rich creator in a world that was so new and vibrant, unburdened, and unwearied. But Jesus also knew his Bible, that he knew that throughout the Old Testament, even after the fall into sin, God did not give up on the promise of rest, that every week there was the Sabbath day. There's always these celebrations to rest and look forward to what God had promised. Jesus knew his Bible. He knew the story of the Exodus, that there was the slavery and back-breaking work under Pharaoh in Egypt, that the Lord set up against his promised land, where his people would enjoy fields and homes that they had not built, that they had not cultivated, that they hadn't worked or labored for. And the prophets looked for a rest where each shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. Rest and peace, enjoyment in safety, the kinds of things you dream of when you are weary and heavy laden, the thing you pray for when you're grieved or worried or struggling, burdened. To just have a break from that burden, those thoughts, that hurts, that grief, to just have a bit of rest. And we may look in all kinds of different directions this morning for such rest. But what gathers us here and together and what we're doing now is to say there's only one way to have rest. This is one who really knows what it is. One who was there when God designed it. One who can really accomplish rest because he doesn't set us free from Egypt, but from every sin and its guilt and burden. Only one who may really invite people into it. Because he makes a new world, a new creation. And just like with Adam, his first week, his first day is that day of rest. The glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Sundays, a day of rest, the day of resurrection, the day of new creation that we long for, we wait for, in which we have that rest of Jesus Christ, only one who has done it all, one who has been burdened with our sin and guilt and shame, one who has borne the cross, who suffered his Father's wrath, one who completed all the work, bore every burden, that we may enter into his rest and rest in his resurrection. It's why we may find in Revelation 14, verse 13, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the spirits, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." We find our rest in what Christ has done. What Christ has done for our brother Lee, and what Christ has done for us. I'll admit, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, when I heard that the nurses had said that likely Lee only had a couple of hours left on this earth, I did not know when his time was going to be, but I could not reflect that there just always seems to be something fitting when the Lord calls his children home on a Sunday. We just have a foretaste here on earth. We stop from our labors. We worship the Lord. But it is always that picture, that longing, that anticipation of an eternal rest. Now that day, the Lord did not call him Lee home. It wasn't his time yet. But Ada, and Adelia, and Lee, you joined him in singing, and reading, in prayer, to anticipate, to long for, to hope for, to seek this rest in Jesus Christ. To heed the invitation that was given to you and to Lee. To cast all the burdens upon him and enter into his rest. Yes, Lee rests from his labor in the Lord Jesus Christ. May that give you who grieve a comfort and then some rest as well. Because there is an abundance of comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what wearies you, no matter what your burden is, hear his invitation and receive his rest. Amen. Let's sing in response hymn 64, stanzas 1 and 2. Let me lead you in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing it is to come to our Savior, to see him open up his very own heart to us, and to find such rich comfort and encouragement, that it is out of the depths of his heart, the depths of his being, that he calls out to us to come to him with our burdens, and with our weariness. To know that when we come to him, we will not be a burden. And when we come to him, he will not turn us away, but rather fill us with his rest. Father, may we find great comfort in knowing that our brother Lee has answered that invitation. Faith in you. May that be a rich blessing also to the family. May it be a comfort to Ada in her grief. Father, may she find that as she comes to you, you would grant her rest. The Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can give that peace that transcends understanding, and that peace that comes from heaven itself, and that peace that comes from having burdens lifted, and our youth renewed like the eagles, that comes from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that promise of a new creation, of eternal rest, and to be gathered into your home. Father, may that be a comfort for all of the families, those who have lost a father and a father-in-law or a grandfather, a brother in Christ. Father, it is your word that stands in your salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ as the only foundation for our hope. Everything built upon our own actions, our own life, our own works is sinking sand. It will not stand. So, Father, may we come to Christ alone, as empty that we may be filled, as wearied that we may be lifted up, as burdened that we may take up his yoke and follow him. Father, as we come before you once again and also pray to you, as our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded, take up his yoke, and it is easy, for we come to know you as a heavenly Father who will not withhold his good gifts from us. And so we cry out to you, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's, as our final song, sing hymn 65, If You But Let the Father Guide You, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. And let's stand if we're able. to go from here, go with these words of Scripture. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the family, Ada and the family, will lead us out of the auditorium. After that, there will be opportunity for condolences and some time to refreshment and to mingle. And you are warmly invited by the family to join with them in that.